This is an interview taken for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is taken with Mrs. Betty Hargraves of 4 Collis Street, Penrith, and the date was the 17th of October, 1991.
My name is Betty Hargraves and I live at 4 Collis Street, Penrith. I was born on the 2nd of January 1918 and I was born in Neutral Bay, and I'm now happily married for over 50 years. My nationality is Australian. I come from convict stock and I have 3 children.
All right, so just to ask you a bit about your family background. What kind of work did your father do?
My father was a produce merchant. There's no such thing, I don't think, as a produce merchant today. No, well, he was a produce merchant and he had a business in Neutral Bay. Then we moved to Windsor and went to Orange, and then we came to Penrith in 1936, I think it was. Mm. Yeah, 1936. My parents came here first. Because I was taken to hospital and I was in Lewisham Hospital for 6 months with a thyroid problem, and in those days that was really a major thing to have a thyroid operation. And so I was there, my parents moved to Penrith, bought another produce business here, and we settled down here.
And so you would have been about
17, I think. Mm. Yes. Yes, 17 or 18.
And where did you live when you came here? In his house, of course.
No. In a beautiful old home, which is that one there. I was married from that home in Stafford Street. And then when I married, we moved to a little cottage, which is not anymore. It was on the corner of Castlereagh and High Street. And we lived in that little old house. It was a lovely little place, actually.
Is this place still standing?
No, yes. Yes, beautiful. Oh. It's just around a few streets away. Beautiful.
And first of all, when you were living in this house, you went to school from there?
No, I had left school. Right. Yes. Mm. Yes. I was one of 4 daughters, actually. Mm-hmm. And my 3 sisters all went to school here. They were just that little bit younger than I was.
So you started really working?
I was working with my father as his secretary. Oh. And that's all I did all my married life. I worked with my father as secretary. And that's how I met my husband, actually. He was working in that produce bridge business that my father bought out. And he was working there, and 12 months later he moved on to another position. That's how I actually met him.
Met you first.
Yes.
So what was the area like when you first came to live here?
Well, just take where we lived. There was nothing around that at all. There was just a great, huge paddock. Now it's covered with housing commission places and this beautiful old majestic home, and it was surrounded by mostly housing commission. But Penrith was a quiet, sleepy little town in those days. There was very little entertainment for anyone. And we just went to the pictures of a Saturday night, or went down to Castlereagh Hall to dances. My husband and I have always been fond of dancing, and that's what we did. We love live theatre, always have, and we travelled to town. And you had to go to town for anything like that in those days. When I say town, I mean Sydney. So we would drive into town and go to all the live shows, which we still do.
Theatre.
Yeah, yes, we love theatre.
You drive rather than...
No, not now. We get in a train and we have a daughter at Neutral Bay and we stay with her for the night. So it works in quite well. Yeah.
And when you were first here, how would you describe the surrounding area? Did you have a lovely fit sense of space? Because you'd come from the city, hadn't you?
Yes. We had moved around a little bit. No, it was, in comparison to what it is today, it's unbelievable. It really is. And even when we married in 1940 and we moved to that little house down there on the corner of Castlereagh Road and High Street, there was Chinese market gardens opposite where the tennis courts are now. And it's so completely changed. It's unbelievable.
And the house you moved into, was that an old house?
No, it had been built a few years previously.
What sort of material
was it? It was a stained timber house. Yeah. A two-bedroom place with a petrol depot at the back, which my husband managed.
Yeah.
And I was his secretary then for a little while, until I started having children.
Did you go to business college to train for that?
Or it was only through a convent.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What part of your schooling, or was that like a...
No, it was part of the schooling, yeah.
Up here in Penrith, or when
no,
you,
at
when
Windsor.
School,
when
I see.
I started school in Neutral Bay, at Mossman, and then went to school.
So it was like a commercial course,
yes,
at school?
Yes, in school.
Mm-hmm. And when you, the house that you moved into when you were married, did that have an inside bathroom and toilet, or?
It had an outside toilet,
yeah.
And it had a fuel stove. We didn't have a refrigerator. We had the ice man used to call 3 days a week with a block of ice, you know, put on top of the ice chest. But we weren't any less happy because of that.
And this was 1940, wasn't it, when you were married?
That's right, yeah. Mm. And when I tell my grandchildren, not just recently, a few years ago while I were younger, I wrote out a few things and asked them what this was. And even a copper stick, I didn't have a washing machine. I had a copper where I boiled the clothes, you see, and then you had a wringer to put them through. And I got the 6 of them up one day asking them all these things. Well, they couldn't believe, they couldn't even visualise what life was like without television or even radio. We didn't worry about radio. And they just couldn't believe that. But, and the things that I sketched for them to show them, like the ice chest, and well, they all went into hysterics when I told them about the outside toilet, and you knew what day the man was coming, and so you didn't go then that morning in case you came and pulled it Monday. Oh no, it's a different life altogether. Yeah, yeah.
And did you have electricity?
Oh yes,
lighting,
yes, we had electricity. Yeah.
What about vacuum cleaners and that sort of thing?
I can't remember. I don't know whether we did have. No, I don't think we did. Although we had a carpet on the floor in the lounge, but we had a huge big log fire, and that didn't have carpet. We had lino on the floor there, and but this huge log fire, my husband and I used to sit it out every night. Beautiful. And that's one thing we still have here. We have a log fire. It's lovely.
Nothing like
it. No, that's right.
And so you didn't listen to the radio much?
No, not a great deal. No. We used to read a lot, and there was more conversation in those days. We'd have our friends in for dinner, and you'd just sit down and talk all night. You wouldn't think about what's on television. I mean, that was, I think that has cut a lot out of life today.
It's antisocial.
Children don't really, a lot of them don't know how to communicate, do they, because of that?
No.
But my mother was a dressmaker, and she was a David Jones. She was one of the head dressmakers at David Jones. And she had some wonderful tales to tell. Wonderful.
She
lived in Penrith.
Oh, in Penrith.
She lived till she was 94. She only died about 4 years ago.
Really?
She was 94. And I've got her on tape. I've got a few there. It's beautiful. The same tales she told.
So she lived in Penrith near you when you were first married?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They lived, they moved from that place and bought a lovely old home over in Lemon Grove. And my two single sisters still live in that lovely old place.
Oh.
and they are business people I never married, two of them, and so they share that lovely old home now. And so I've always had the support of a family around me, which is, you know, sometimes today. And I'm very much involved in the community. I'm executive officer of Penrith Community Aid, which I started 20 years ago. And just seeing the needs of what was required in the area where I've started up so many things has been fantastic.
So that's one way in which things have improved here then?
Oh, yes. Well, there was nothing. How that started actually was a young man I knew in Apex came one Christmas 20 years ago actually, 19 and a half years ago. And he said he had two families Apex would buy the toys. Could I think about getting food hampers? And at that time I was president of the Governor Phillips Special Hospital Meals on Wheels Service, so I decided that I'd ask the Meals on Wheels Service and some friends to get a couple of hampers together and I'd deliver them. So I delivered those hampers first to a woman whose husband had left her, and the people from I've forgotten which department store had come and repossessed all her furniture. She was left there in a house with, I think she had a couple of beds and a couple of chairs, and she was sitting out on the back step with a head in her hands, and out of, I think she had two handicapped children. And so...
with no social security.
Well, there was no social security. There was nothing for that woman. So then I went to the next one, and she was... her husband had just been put in jail. Well, there was no prisoner's aid or anything like that then. So that got me thinking, and my children were coming home for Christmas, and everything was here for them, beautiful meal and comfortable bed, and I thought just would not leave me about those two women. So I said, as soon as Christmas was over, I'm going to get something going. And so from that, I started Penrith Community Aid. And by keeping records of inquiries in the office, we could see where the need was. And so we started the Women's Refuge for Battered Women and Children. I started the Meals on Wheels service at the prison farm, which is the only place in the state where meals are cooked by prisoners. There's an occasional child care, before and after school care. We visit the aged ill and lonely, we give our food and clothing. And none of that was available to those people at that time. There is now.
So when did you start this?
1972. Yeah.
There was nothing even then?
No. There was no Social Security. That woman couldn't get Social Security, so I went to St Vincent de Paul and got her furniture. And I did go to, they called it Family and Community Services now, it was called something, Youth and Community then. And they gave her some money to tide her over. And so they, a few months' time, then both those families left the district. And I often think I wish those women could see, because of their great need, this welfare service was put into operation. But it's been most rewarding for me. My husband, he's been absolutely a tower of strength. I wouldn't have been able to do it without his support. I mean, I'm away long hours, and the council support us. They've given us rooms in Penrith. And so it's...
Have you done this on a voluntary basis?
It's all been voluntary. Mm. And I've got 210 volunteers.
Really?
Yeah.
All working for you.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic it is. Matter of fact, I've just written a book on community aid and what the volunteers have done in the area. Very interesting.
I'll have to get hold of that.
Yeah, I've got a copy here, $10 a copy.
Good. Yeah. So just getting back to when you first were married and living here in the 40s, I suppose, did you have your children soon after you were married?
No. My husband and I eloped. because of religious differences. I'm a Catholic, my husband's a Uniting Church, or a Methodist, and there's so much bigotry on both sides, not only just one side, both sides were just bigoted, and they could not see that we could ever be happy and their marriage wouldn't work. So we agonised over this for many months, and we thought, right, we know what we've got to do. So we eloped, and the only people we told were my parents and my husband's father and the sister of his who he was close to. And so we just went off and got married and came back and told people. And of course then they were counting out the months till 9 months and no baby arrived. 4 years later our eldest daughter arrived. So we were married 4 years before. And then 2 years later I had another daughter, and then we had a son. And in between that I had two miscarriages.
So did you plan your family, or did you...
We, in those days, there was no such thing as the pill or anything like that, and bedroom secrets I'm not going to discuss here, but we did not want children for a little while, and so we didn't have children, although I had miscarriage when we were married three years, and then we had Jill and... 3 years, a year later, so we were married 4 years before we had, and then I had the three and two.
So you wanted to have
Three children, yeah. and no more, and we planned it that way, in our own way.
It was difficult in those days to
Well, it was, yes, yes. Well, the women have got the choice now.
Yes.
Yes.
That's another good change, I suppose, too.
Well, that's right, yes. But I'm anti-abortion, definitely anti-abortion. I just think it's murder, and I'll get up anywhere and say that, and I really deeply feel that. But we'd never ever consider anything like that anyway, but today things is so different, entirely different. Another thing I think is good, where kids now can talk about things, they're more open.
Yes.
I know my grandchildren can come in here, and they're not young little things anymore. The eldest one's 22 and she's a nurse, and they can sit up here and without a blush or anything, they can talk about things that I could never even talk about because I was married.
That's right, and they call a spade a spade, don't they?
They, yes.
16-year-olds.
Well, that's right, yes. Well, our grandchildren, are some of them are your children's, your daughter's age. And I think that's good. And also domestic violence. It was swept under the carpet and people say it wasn't about. It was about, by what I read, it was just as much, no, I don't think there was as much, but I think that it was swept under the carpet a lot, and people didn't face that, because I know when I started that women's refuge and the stories that came through to me, not only from young women, but older people, and they said, I wish to God a thing like this was around when my mother was having us. Mm-hmm. My mother had to be back. Stayed and be battered, or otherwise she was out in the street with nothing, and there was no social security, there's nothing to help them in those days. Women had to put up with that. So women live has done something, I think, but then I think they've gone too far in one way. But I think that
but having those community services has helped enormously.
Oh yes, women don't have to put up with those indignities. No woman should be pushed around or knocked around by a man. No. So I think that's been a wonderful thing for women, that they can get out and get support. But what does worry me though is breakdown of marriages. That really does concern me, because there's so many women, even coming through the refuge, and they don't know half the time, those little children don't know who their brothers and sisters are anymore. And in a few years' time, what's to say they're going to meet up with their brothers and sisters and marry? You can see that happening down there. or anywhere as far as that goes. People come into the community aid office and they say, oh, my husband's or de facto is playing around with someone else, and he's just had a baby, and you know, this is going on, there's too much of it.
So in one way it's good that women have got these support services, but
yes,
that's very good, but there seems to be more marriage breakdown, which is
it's lack of discipline too, yeah. I guess lack of discipline in the home. Children now are not disciplined. I see kids, you just go away to, we were recently down at a guest house, staying at a guest house at Barrel, where we go once a year. And these kids about 8 and 9, they just took control of everything. And the parents didn't, they were jumping from these wonderful lounge suites, jumping from one to the other. And the parents just leave them to do what the wreck anything. And if you say anything to them, you're being in trouble.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So when your children were born, within 5 years or so, so you had 3 little ones.
Mm. I was very ill at that time.
Were you?
Yes, I was very ill. And my husband had to get someone to help me in the house. And I was looking after 3 children. We'd put all our money into starting a business of our own. And he got, I was far from well, and a few years later I had to go in and have another thyroid operation. But he, when I came out of hospital with my second daughter, Jen was just 3 weeks old when my husband had to, well, he was almost bedridden with sciatica. So we had it really tough for a good many years until we got on our feet. And but we had some wonderful friends who came in. One man particularly would do his work. When he's finished for the day, he would come and do the orders that I'd taken during the day.
What sort of business was it?
A petrol depot.
Oh, right.
It was, my husband was the agent for Ampol, the Australian company, and he was an agent here for 40 years of that. And he supplied petrol to the service stations from about Blacktown or a little bit this side up to Mount Victoria. And he had tankers and trucks, and in those days, you see, there was no state planning. So they passed it that we could have a depot right in the middle of a residential area. So we moved from down there to here about 35 years ago. 40 years ago, and there was still no state planning, so we could build a petrol depot, and that existed and until 7 years ago my husband retired, and then I took that over as a pottery shop. So I've got a pottery shop in there.
And that would have been in the 50s then, would it, that you moved here, late
50s? Yeah. Yes, it'd be late 50s, almost 60s, I think, yes. But it was really booming then. Business was absolutely fantastic, and Ampol were just so wonderful firm to work for, and we got really established then. By that time when we moved here, we really had done quite well in business.
And was this in a new house then?
No, we built this.
You built this,
we
did
built
you?
This, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a brick house, isn't it?
No, it's a weatherboard.
Yeah,
no, and so many people come to us today and say, why are you living in this weatherboard house? No one lives in a weatherboard house today. You should put cover it with brick or something like that. And I said, no way. I love my weatherboard house. I love it.
And so you built this while you were living in the other house?
Yes. And then we moved up here and my husband ran the business from here.
And so when you said you had lots of support during that difficult time when the children were little and you weren't well, were they mostly neighbours or...?
My parents and my sisters, mm-hmm. Yes.
And did Did you have neighbours close by you?
One, two, that's all.
Only two?
Yes, the rest was all paddocks.
Mm.
It's true, and one down in High Street, just down in the corner, but there was nothing next door to us like that.
And what was the surrounding land like? Was it just trees or...?
Yes, no, there was, when we bought this, there's two blocks here, and when we bought this, there was nothing on it, there wasn't a tree or anything, everything had been cut down, and so we immediately, planted trees, and now they're the most wonderful trees you've ever seen. They're absolutely beautiful. And so much, yes, well that out there is, and well, that's part of my husband and I used to argue in the garden, so we decided that he would take that bit and I'd take this, so I turned mine into a rainforest. And it's really good. Can I? Yes, probably. I was going to say that part of our garden, we have a swimming pool, and in those days, swimming pools weren't in backyards. There was only another person in Penrith who had the pool. So we put the pool in, and at that time our children were young teenagers, and we never ever had any problems with them wanting to go anywhere, only that we had the problem. They used to bring every all the neighbours' kids, and but they'd have parties and sit around the pool all night. We had wonderful nights there with them, and they had a pianola out there, and that was wonderful for them. They went away to boarding school, our children.
Where did they go, to Sydney or...?
My two daughters went to Parramatta Mercy College, and our son went to Oak Hill. Because we thought, my husband and I had lived in Penrith for so long, and were still only a reasonably little place, we thought they have to know there's another world out there besides Penrith. So we decided that they'd go to boarding school. So they went there and finished their leaving. The eldest girl was teaching. She went out teaching. Out near Swan Hill, she was sent to a little place called Moolameen. And she met another teacher and they married. And then her other daughter, as a preschool director, she went out to Cowra and she met a country boy and she settled down out there, and her son lives in Penrith. And our eldest daughter, for some reason our children love studying, and our eldest daughter is now a solicitor. She did it full time. When she got her children to high school, she decided she wanted to do law. So she was just doing a little bit of teaching, helping out at a little local school, and then she went to Macquarie University and travelled. She was living at Emu Plains at that time and travelled every day to Macquarie. And now she's practising in the city and lives at Neutral Bay. And her other daughter is doing a BA in Early Childhood Services, majoring in Aborigine problems. So very interesting to see them making their way in life and doing different things.
Did your parents' expectations for you, I suppose, were quite different to expectations for your children?
Yes, yes. I think so. No, I don't know. I've never been one to press my children with doing. They had to make their own mind up if they wanted to go on and further education, where they knew that they could get the support from their father and I if they wanted to do that, and they chose to do that. So, but the expectations, I mean, today they've got to have an education to get anywhere today, really.
Right. Did they go to the local primary school here?
The local convent school they went, yes. Yeah.
And which one is that?
That's St Nicholas, St Nicholas of Myra, yes, down there, yes. And our son was one, I think he was the first class that moved from the convent to St Dominic's College. And where St Dominic's College is today, we had friends there who had a poultry farm.
Really?
this little house on this big block, and we used to play cards there with these people, and I couldn't believe that a few years later, they were many years older than we were, and many years later, here I am measuring up for the brothers to move in up there. Yeah. So times have changed.
It's a fairly industrial area, really, over
now,
that way, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's right,
And so how did they get to school when they were little? Did they walk or...?
Oh, well, we practically lived near the school when we were in Castlereagh Street. It was only just across the road from us.
The transport services in the area, I believe, weren't very good.
Oh, there'd be nothing. No, that's right. Parents would have had to drive in the children to school, but I was just fortunate. We just lived opposite and they'd walk home. And they, even from here, when they were in primary school, from here they could walk home. I'd never had to go and get them. They just walked home.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was good exercise for them.
And I suppose your family gave you the support you needed for after-school care, if ever... you weren't home when the children were coming home?
I told my children when they were married, as my mother told me, and my daughter Regent Sapp is the best advice, that I told them that to start off their marriage as they wanted to go on. Don't think you can change people after being married 12 months.